what is the basis upon which we are made nigh? By the blood of Christ. Paul says our reconciliation begins with the historical event of the cross.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Alienation, I think, is a part of the theme of Paul's instruction in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 in particular. We were alienated from God. Alienation is a popular word in contemporary society, but generally it does not have a theological significance. It doesn't come to us in our modern world in any biblical sense. It generally has an economic or a political connotation. But long before these modern perversions of the term alienation came into being, the Bible had spoken already of human alienation. And it was a double alienation. As you study the Bible, you see that. It was a double alienation. One, the Bible spoke and speaks of an alienation from God, our Creator. And that's a description of every one of us in our natural condition before we come to Christ. Alienation from God, our Creator. And then it spoke, secondly, of an alienation from one another, our fellow creatures. Not only an alienation from God, our Creator, but also an alienation from one another, our fellow creatures. There was a sense of hostility between us and God, and there was a sense of hostility between us and our brothers, those around us, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so God, seeing and sensing that alienation and knowing the devastating consequences of it, God sent Jesus into the world on a great peacemaking mission. Jesus Christ came to terminate this alienation, rebuild the bridges, knock down the barriers, and provide for us a reconciliation with Himself and then with those around us. And Ephesians, the second chapter, alludes to both of these forms of alienation and how they are resolved by what Jesus Christ has done for us. Only Jesus Christ can bring that peace. And we gain an insight into that concept in Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 13. Paul calls us to remember it. He calls us to remember what we possess in Jesus Christ. He calls us to remember it, to be thankful for it, to apply the implications of it in our lives, and to share it with other people. As I look at Ephesians 2, 11 to 13, I see two facets of our relationship to God that Paul deals with. And as we come to understand those two facets of our relationship to God, we're motivated, we're prompted to be mindful and to be thankful of all that we possess in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I see is our natural condition. That's verses 11 and 12. And if there's one word to describe our natural condition apart from Jesus Christ, it's the word alienation or separation. And then the second thing I see is our new condition. That's in verse 13. And if there's one word that would describe this new condition that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be the word reconciliation or peace. Now, I wonder if we could just analyze these together for just a moment. First of all, Paul gives to us in Ephesians 2, verses 11, 12, our natural condition, its separation or alienation from God. And I think in verse 11, he gives us the circumstantial cause for that alienation. And in verse 12, he gives the theological cause for it. He gives to us here a terrible sixfold deprivation of the unregenerate Gentile world. Six things of which we were deprived. He says, number one, you are Christless. You were without Christ. You couldn't be any worse off than that, than to be without Jesus Christ. Secondly, Paul says, you were stateless. Do you notice? You were stateless. You were aliens from the commonwealth, from the state. The politouma, the political state, the citizenry. The politouma, the commonwealth, or the state of Israel. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That word aliens means belonging to another. And strictly speaking, Paul is saying that we were constituents of the wrong kingdom. You were Christless, you were stateless. He says something else. He says something, there's a third thing he says. You were friendless. Do you notice he says you were strangers? Xenos is the word. It means without friends. It means without friends. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. Definite article is there. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. No covenants were made with Gentile nations, Paul says. And the promise of a coming Messiah, which was fundamental to each of the covenants, it's the promise, was foreign to them. Outside of Christ, we were strangers to all of that until we came to Him. He says, you were Christless. You were stateless. You were friendless. He says, fourth, you were hopeless. Do you notice? Having no hope. Paul says, a man without Christ, a Christless man, a man who is a constituent of the wrong kingdom, a stateless man, a man who is not a friend to the promises of God, a friendless man, that kind of man is a hopeless man. But Paul says, a man who knows Jesus Christ, he has hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. You were hopeless. Then he says, number 5, you were godless. Do you notice? Without God. You were without God. The heathen had gods aplenty. What do you mean, Paul? They were godless. The heathens had an abundance of gods. But the gods of the pantheist and the gods of the polytheist, the impersonal and the multiple gods, are no gods at all, Paul says. To possess a false god is to be without God, to have no God at all. The one true God. And you and I have turned from idols to serve that living and true God. And then finally, Paul says, you were homeless. Do you notice he says you were in the world? And that's not much of a home. That's what I mean. You were homeless. I think that phrase is more a moral and a theological designation than it is a geographical designation. Paul is saying that the unsaved man is an earth dweller. In terms of his fundamental affections, he's an earth dweller. In terms of his fundamental attachments, he's an earth dweller. In terms of his fundamental perspective, his outlook on life, he's an earth dweller. Paul means that before Christ came into our lives, we were earthbound. We were limited by earth's horizons and philosophies. We were curtailed in our creativity, and we were bound exclusively by human wisdom and human genius while being utterly devoid of the knowledge of God. In other words, we were at home in the world, but the world is no home at all. I want you to be reminded of something. I want you to have this in your mind. This is what you were. This is your natural condition. You were Christless without Christ. You were stateless, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were friendless, strangers from the covenants of the promise. You were hopeless, having no hope. You were godless without God, and you were homeless in the world, transitory, passing away. No eternal destiny or identity. But now I want you to see that a change has come, and it's come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says, here's our new condition. It's in verse 13. He says, you who are all of these things, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. The word that describes our new condition is reconciliation. You're made nigh by the blood of Christ. I see three powerful things in verse 13. One, there is proximity. You're made nigh. This is what we were, but now. This is what you were, but God. When God interjects that divine dimension into our being, something radical and something powerful happens. This is what you were, but now. Something wonderful comes into your life through Christ. He says, in time past, you were all these ugly things, pagan and polluted, hopeless and homeless and godless and Christless and stateless and friendless, all of those things. But now, you who were far off, he says, you have been made nigh. Our God does not keep his distance. He's made nigh. In fact, he lives right within us. And there's a sense of intimacy and warmth and family relationship in that phrase. You know that word made is interesting? It's a good word. It's an evangelistic word. You were made nigh. The word is ginomai. It means to become something by birth. You were made nigh. How were you made nigh? You became nigh by birth. You were placed into the family by birth. Our new condition is directly related to our new birth, and our new birth has placed us into a relationship of intimacy and family closeness with God. There is proximity. But I want you to see something else in verse 13. Not only is there proximity, there is a priceless sacrifice. How are we made nigh? What is the basis upon which we are made nigh? By the blood of Christ. Paul says, our reconciliation begins with the historical event of the cross. Our reconciliation, we were alienated. We were devastated by our sin. We were far from God. There was no hope until Christ came. And this whole process of reconciliation begins with the historical event of the cross. The blood of Christ is a reference to his sacrificial death in our behalf and in our stead on the cross. Paul says, man is far off because of sin. The basis of his estrangement from God, his alienation from God, is his sin. And the Bible makes very clear the ground of the removal of that sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. The cancellation of our debt, the removal of the barriers between ourselves and God is contingent. It's dependent upon the shedding of blood. The wages of sin is death. Christ paid that penalty for us. So Jesus, gladly, even joyfully, do you remember that in Hebrews 12 and verse 2? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus gladly, he joyfully shed his priceless and infinitely valuable blood for you and me. There is proximity in this verse. You are made nigh. But always remember that that proximity could never have existed except there had been a priceless sacrifice. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one further thought here. There's not only proximity and priceless sacrifice in verse 13, there's personal union. Do you notice right there at the very beginning of verse 13? But now in Christ Jesus, you are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Though our reconciliation begins with the historical event of the cross, it becomes a reality only through the contemporary experience of conversion. Did you follow me on that? Though our reconciliation begins with the historical event of the cross, it only becomes a reality through the contemporary experience of conversion. A man must be converted. He must be saved. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago in the historical event of the cross, died for my sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. But I must claim in my lifetime my own personal share by faith of that which Jesus Christ died to give all men when he died 2,000 years ago. It becomes a reality in the contemporary experience of conversion. The blessings of reconciliation, of being made nigh, the intimacy and warmth of the family relationship are reserved exclusively for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have established a personal union with him. Paul says, I want you to remember something. Remember what you were, separated. And remember what you are, reconciled to God. You have been made nigh. You were far off, and you have been made nigh because on the cross Christ shed his blood for you, and in conversion you were joined to him by faith. Remember it. Don't ever forget it. It's a powerful remembrance. I wonder, can you point to an occasion in your life when you made that transition? You were far off, but you've been made nigh. You were not in Christ. You were in the world and hopeless, but now you are in Christ. You made the decision, a personal act of your will by faith, to open up your heart to Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior. I wonder if that's true. I hope it's true of all of you. But if there's one without Christ, we want to invite you to come to Christ, and that mighty transaction will take place in your life. Some of us have been made nigh. Many of us have been made nigh already. Positionally, by faith, we become members of the family. But I wonder sometimes if we who are Christians aren't practically far off. Positionally, we're nigh, but practically, we're far off. Not living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The very names, family and father, change the whole atmosphere. They're warm terms. They're intimate terms.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.